go. Welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Please sign the attendance books that are found in the pews, the little red books, and be sure you pass them along. Let me do announcements, and I don't have very many announcements. I don't know. People didn't put them up here. I will maybe announcements. Is that better? Okay, thank you. I guess the only announcement I really have is the softball games this Monday, July 15th at Doorfield, number 2, Thursday, July 18th at Countryside. They start at 7 p.m., and more players are needed. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. We need players. So if you can, I think the sign-up is in the back, I think. So be sure you look into that. Sure, you can be warm bodies, too. We always need cheerleaders, but we really need players. Yeah, but players okay, Karen. No. I don't. Who plays here? Tina, do you play? Do you have to be good?
We won't fight. I mean, we have fun. We play.
Very good. That's the only announcement I have up here, so I'm going to ask, I know we don't usually, but do we have any announcements out there or concerns? Kathy?
Well, I'd like to announce I'm going to play this coming weekend. There's also two plays we're doing, 13 Signs.
You want to turn around and talk to them? So if you have questions about the plays, you couldn't hear well or whatever, please ask you about it afterwards or see Kathy later. She's also going to be our special music today, which will be fine. Do we have any, and I know this isn't normal to do it this way, but I'm going to do it this way. Do we have any Thanksgivings or other prayer concerns that haven't been put up? Definitely want to keep in our prayers, Louisiana and the states down south that are undergoing all of the flooding and weather problems right now. Okay. Well, that's early for announcements. No other prayer concerns or Thanksgivings? Thank you for the beautiful day. Pardon? Dwayne. Okay. Barb's nephew, Dwayne, who is dealing with cancer right now, needs to be prayed for sure. Any others? Oh, and Sunday school. We have an amazing Sunday school teacher this summer, Karen, and we're discussing grace, something that we all need to learn more about, even though we think we know about it. There's a lot more to learn, so I would definitely recommend it, and we're doing a wonderful book for it. Okay, is that everything? All right, then. Do we have any birthdays this week or last week we missed? No birthdays. Anniversaries.
Not mine.
Oh. Oh my goodness, so 55 years. Oh! So it would have been your 55th too, huh? 55 years for Ron and Sandy Pritchett on, what did you say, Thursday? Thursday. That's awesome. Okay, anything else? Last minute, last call? Okay. Again, before we do our prelude and lighting of the candles, please quiet your mind and prepare your hearts for worship. I did forget, I'd like to welcome officially Ann and John Kendrick today. You're going to learn lots from them. John's going to speak about Gideon's, and Ann is doing the children's time. We're looking forward to it. I hope we have some children. Maybe we don't. We might not. Well, we got a couple. Got a few. Okay. Please stand for the praise songs on the screen. Give thanks and El Shaddai. El Shaddai will be singing twice. Please remain standing for the call to worship. You will read responsively the bold print for you. Let us come before the Lord our God, with songs of praise, a show of our gratitude for God's forgiveness by living lives dedicated to serving the outcast, the poor, and the lonely. Come, let us worship God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And our opening hymn is What Does the Lord Require? 441. Please be seated. That's a new song for us, obviously. Thanks, Tina. Children's message today. We have some children that would like to come up, and we have Ann Kendrick doing it today.
With the Gideons, and the Gideons give little Bibles. You might see them at school or at the 4-H fair, and we give nurses little white testaments, and we give service members little camel testaments. And boys always like these. You like that one? And many men who have gone, and women who have gone into the service of our country in the military, get a little Gideon Testament to take with them. And you can imagine that if you're going to basic training or you're going into battle in a war or on a ship, that that can be kind of scary for young people. And so the Gideon Testament has given comfort to many, many people, and many people have become Christians by reading this at a time when they're afraid. And we know that in the Bible, God tells us over 400 times, fear not, do not be afraid. Are you guys ever afraid of anything? Nothing? Oh, good. That's good. You're really brave. Are you ever afraid of anything? No? Okay. Well, that might not be a problem here then. But there's a psalm that King David wrote in the book of Psalms in the Bible, that talks about not being afraid. And David had a lot of scary things happen to him. When he was a little boy, he had to kill a lion and a bear when he was taking care of the sheep. You probably know about that story about little David and the giant Goliath. You know that story from Sunday school? And David, throughout his life, had a lot of scary battles and things he had to go through. So he wrote about how God protected him and how when he turned and thought about God and prayed, he didn't need to be afraid. So this is a book that my grandsons really like, and it's Psalm 91 for kids. So I'm going to read this to you. This book is written just for you because God wants to protect you so you never have to be afraid. God invites you to find a secret place where just the two of you can meet each day to pray. You pray every morning? If we pray in the morning, that kind of gets us through the day a lot of times. God wants you to say out loud, "I trust you, Lord, and I know that you are the one who protects me from harm." Can you say that with me? I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Very good. We can always remember to say that. Have you ever seen a mother hen who covers her chicks with her wings when a hawk flies over?
No.
No, never seen that? Well, that's what birds do. A bird on a nest, the mother bird will put her wings over the babies to protect them. And God says he puts his wings over us. There are some people in the world who are not nice. They do mean, unkind, cruel things, and that makes God sad. But God does not want you to be afraid of people. He is stronger and more powerful than people who do bad things. God does not want you to be afraid of bad diseases or sicknesses. Doctors and nurses are people that God uses to help sick people get well. But God is even more powerful than a doctor, and he wants you to be healthy. God wants you to know that you don't have to be afraid of things like storms, thunder, car wrecks, or scary dark places. You will see bad things happening in the world around you, but God wants you to know that none of those evil things can harm you. Did you know that angels are real even though you don't see them? God created angels to watch over and protect you. Remember to thank God every day for the angels that he sends to protect us from harm. Did you ever do something really foolish and you thought, uh-oh, I could have really got hurt, but I didn't? Do you think that God was protecting you then? And did you remember to thank him? I know I've done silly things like that. When the devil tries to scare you, he's like an angry old lion or an ugly snake or a wicked dragon. When you're afraid, just say a scripture verse out loud or sing a song of praise to Jesus, because then the devil will have to leave because he does not like to hear God's word or praise to Jesus. God says that, I want all of you to say, when I say, point to you, you say your name, okay? Everybody say their name together because your name. My name's Ann. Okay. Everybody say their name. Okay, I'll say my name, okay? God says, because Ann loves me and is my friend, I will take Ann away from evil and I will allow Ann to sit with me on high. So you can put your name in that verse in the Psalms and know that God's going to take care of you and protect you. Yes, is somebody praying it at night in their bed? It's fun when your dad lifts you high up in his arms. God will lift you even higher. If you love God and obey him, then you can call on him in prayer and he will hear and answer you. What an honor for God to talk to us. Have you ever done something that wasn't nice and later you were sorry you did it? God is there when you're in trouble. God says that he'll forgive you, so be very quick to run to him and say, "Forgive me, I'm sorry." God wants you to live a long, good life. Lots of people live a long life, but the only way to live a truly happy life is when we're living for God. So let's pray together, okay? Can you bow your heads, fold your hands? Lord Jesus, I know that you love me and you always want to take care of me. I believe you died and rose again for me, and I want to live for you. So please come into my heart and make me your child. Forgive me for the bad things I've done and help me to be a good person that makes you happy. Thank you that I can live forever with you. I love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Okay? Thank you. Because we're such a good audience.
Thank you, Anne. There they go. Okay, next is our Old Testament reading today is from 1 Samuel. Can you hear me okay? I don't know, I can't tell. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 23. And this is David plays the lyre for Saul. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. And Saul's servant said to him, "See now, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command the servants who attend you to look for someone who is skillful in playing the lyre. And when this evil spirit from God is upon you, he will play it, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide for me someone who can play well and bring him to me." One of the young men answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who is skillful in playing a man of valor, warrior, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him." So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a kid, and sent them by his son David to Saul. And David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight." And whenever the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. And Saul would be relieved and feel better, and the evil spirit would depart from him. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word. Our special music today is Kathy Williams.
Hello, I'm singing a song today. I like Amy Grant a lot, and this song was written by Gary Chapman, "My Father's Eyes," and I think it has a double meaning about, you know, father, but also father up in heaven, and trying to do right by him and have compassion and all that. And also, it's been 5 years since I've attended this church, since my father's memorial service was here. I grew up Catholic, actually. My mom was Catholic, and she passed away the year before my dad did, and we had the service there. But then my aunt helped me after my father passed away, helped me with a lot of things, helped me plan the memorial service here because my dad grew up Methodist, and my grandparents on my dad's side were Methodists, and my grandpa's service was here. So then I started attending this church 5 years ago, and it's also the five-year anniversary of my father's passing. I finally did the flags of remembrance. I got a flag and a plaque for him over in front of the courthouse, finally, and he served during peacetime, but he served in the Air Force in the 1950s, so I was very happy and proud to see that plaque this year, the flags of remembrance. So here's a song for my father and my father's eyes. May not be every mother's dream for her little girl, and my face may not grace the mind of everyone in the world. That's all right, as long as I can have one wish I pray. When people look inside my life, I want to hear them say, she has her father's eyes, her father's eyes. Eyes that find the good in things when good is not around. Eyes that find the source of help when help just can't be found. Eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes. Just like my father's eyes. On that day when we will pay for all the deeds we have done, good and bad, they'll all be had to see by everyone. And when you're called to stand and tell just what you saw in me, more than anything I know, I want your words to be, she had a father's eyes, her father's eyes. Eyes that found the good in things when good was not around. Eyes that found the source of help when help would not be found. Eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes. Just like my father's eyes.
Thank you, Kathy. Would you pray with me? Oh, great God, El Shaddai, our good shepherd and our King of Kings, we praise your name as we gather before you this morning. We are grateful that you love us. We are awestruck by the price you paid to redeem us from sin and evil. We thank you for your loving shepherding care, grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy, which you have bestowed upon us and our families, upon our church and community, and upon our nation. We thank you for this day, for another week to look forward to, for this beautiful area we live in, for our families and friends, and for every blessing, great and small. Keep our hearts in constant communication with you, through praise and prayer, without ceasing. Like David, may we too be called people after God's own heart. We humbly bow and acknowledge our personal sins before you, as we reflect upon the past week, bring to mind what we need to confess. Forgive what we have done and what we have left undone. We gratefully accept the forgiveness you have promised when we repent. Thank you that you have removed our sins from us as far as east is from the west, and that we can be assured that we are forgiven. We lift to you the many problems and needs in our families, in our church, in our community, and in our nation. Remove all that is not of you in our national and state and community leadership, and give wisdom and guidance to those in authority at all levels of government. We particularly lift up today the local courthouse employees. We ask your protection and assistance for those serving in our military, especially for Tammy Schramm King, and for our first responders and our law enforcement and humanitarian agencies serving at the southern border. We pray for those in the path of the storm, Barry, and ask that you might turn it away. We pray for our farmers, our teachers, and child care workers, for those in healthcare and business, and for homemakers and retired people. May we recognize those vocations where we have been placed as honorable and holy callings, and may we serve in them with faithfulness and integrity, that you might be glorified. We pray for the names listed in the bulletin, and for others each of us can name silently, who are experiencing illness, recovering from injury or surgery, grieving the loss of a loved one, in need of employment or financial assistance, saddened by relationship difficulties, struggling with addictions, mental health issues, temptations, or unknown evils similar to what distressed King Saul. We pray for the persecuted church around the world and for your pastors and missionaries who carry out the Great Commission forward and proclaim the name of Jesus to the world. We pray that during this time of global unrest, with migrations of huge proportions, refugees in poverty and crisis, and the clashings of many cultures, that the cross of Christ would be lifted up, that eyes would be opened to the gospel, that human suffering would be eased, and that we as Christians would recognize that this time is a time of incredible opportunity for evangelism and service. As the church, let us not miss the significance of what is happening around us, and let us be vigilant and industrious as we await the return of the Lord. We ask that you encourage Erin Campbell and do a mighty work in completing her support needs and finalizing her plans. We ask that you watch over and refresh Pastor Sue, and that you bless the women's mission event on August 15th, and be with the campers this week. We are so grateful that you can come before us that we can come before you with our concerns and requests, knowing that you hear each one. And now let us pray together the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver us from temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Our scripture reading today comes from 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. The word of the God for the people of God. As president of the St. Clair County Gideon Camp, I was honored to be asked by the Sanilac County Camp to speak to you this morning. The Sanilac Camp is one of the most active and respected camps in our area, and as a supporting church, you can be very proud of what you have accomplished in partnership with them. Thank you for your past support of the Gideon's ministry, and I hope to encourage you to continue with us as we strive together to bring men and women, boys and girls, to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm speaking today from a relatively obscure and at first glance, slightly difficult text. King Saul has repeatedly and deliberately disobeyed the Lord's commands, ignored the counsel of the prophet Samuel, and stubbornly refused to sincerely repent or amend his rebellious attitude. In the first part of chapter 16, God sends Samuel to Bethlehem to secretly anoint the youngest son of Jesse, the shepherd boy David, as Israel's rightful king and heir apparent to Saul's throne. Today's American culture likes to view God as a loving, benevolent, kind of cosmic Santa Claus who exists mostly to shower us with whatever we ask for. The notion of a troubling, tormenting, or evil spirit from the Lord is disconcerting to us. Some commentators believe that the Lord had lifted his protective hand from Saul, leaving him vulnerable to outside evil influences that could previously not touch him. We warn our teens about this today, dabbling in things that displease the Lord. Perhaps drugs, pornography, or the occult can frequently open one's soul and life to unspeakable evil consequences that could have been easily avoided by better choices. Other commenters suggest that Saul realized the Lord no longer favored him, and he had fallen into a state of severe depression or mental illness. But all agree that Saul's situation was entirely of his own doing. At any point in Saul's life, he could have humbly acknowledged his sin, repented, and lived a life of obedience, and God would have forgiven him, restored him, and blessed him. But rebellious Saul started down a path of self-will and never turned back from its ever-darkening descent. Saul's troubles should have sent him back seeking the Lord, requesting Samuel's guidance in doing his best to be the king that he had the potential to become. In the Christian life, we have all probably observed or experienced situations where God used bad things, ugly circumstances, grief or pain to get our attention, to pursue our affections, to draw us back to him. How many of us recall a hard time or difficulty as the very moment when we felt closest to Christ? Clinging to him during an illness, desperately holding fast during a great loss or disappointment. We know that God may choose to use our misery and sadness to woo us back towards him. Jesus Barrios walked in the streets of a large city in Colombia, eating from garbage cans and often naked. He had no purpose and no hope. He had come to this city with many dreams, but had quickly fallen into alcohol and drug use and avoided other humans. The only place to sleep and shelter from the tropical sun and rain was among the tombs at the local cemetery. Jesus says, "I was the demon-possessed man described in Matthew 8. One day while searching for food, someone motioned him into their shop. And instead of the bread crust he was expecting, he received a small book, similar to this. just not camel. After 12 years of substance abuse, he had almost forgotten how to read. However, he read Psalm 51, and tears flooded into his eyes. He cherished the little book, was kicked out of the cemetery by the police, and moved into a homeless shelter where he recovered and eventually received a call from God to accept and serve him. He is now clothed in the Holy Spirit, serving the Lord as an evangelist throughout Colombia. Returning to Saul, he instead looked to human counsel and agrees with a helpful suggestion that possibly music therapy is the answer. Now, music is a wonderful thing, a great blessing from the Lord, but worshiping music itself is idolatry, a confusing of the gift and the giver. How often are we guilty of the same mistake? Do we turn immediately to the Lord in times of trouble? Our prayer and scripture and pastoral counsel our first choice of action? Or like Saul, do we seek our advice and information from friends, Facebook, or Google? Do we confuse good gifts from God with his presence? Do we seek comfort in entertainment, food, sports, exercise, nature, or travel? Do we make idols out of blessings and look to them to give us the peace and refreshment that we should be seeking from the Lord alone? Saul does find comfort, perhaps not so much in David's music, but in David's presence. Saul seems to recognize that the Holy Spirit is with David, and Saul is lonely for God, but he doesn't make the connections. He enjoys temporary relief, but eventually we know he becomes jealous of David, and their warm relationship deteriorates into 20 years of warfare and pursuit. Even at the very end of his life, Saul repeats the same mistake of looking for counsel in the wrong places, consulting a psychic witch to learn his fate. The next day, he commits suicide, again failing to trust God and place himself in the hands of a merciful and almighty Father, and sealing his legacy as a tragic figure in Israel's history. Meanwhile, we turn to David's perspective. He and Jesse must have feared the call from Saul as a death summons. Had someone leaked the news of the secret anointing? And yet David, a man after God's own heart, is so attuned to his Lord that he recognizes and obeys the command to attend the king. Years alone in the fields with sheep, observing creation's wonders, composing and playing worship songs in the wilderness, had taught David to know God, to love him deeply and thereby to trust him completely. David did not arrive at court assuming that this was his moment to shine or his coronation was imminent. He humbly did the simple job he was assigned and waited for God's timing to reveal itself. It's often tempting for us to help God along. We know this thing we desire must be his plan for our future. We're all ready for a promotion, a romantic relationship leading to marriage, a baby, a business opportunity. Do we trust God's timing in our lives, or do we push ahead with our own agenda? David would wait, as I mentioned, 20 long, tough years before officially being recognized as Israel's king. A few years ago, I was in the Philippines on a Gideon scripture blitz. About 40 of us were there for 10 days, and we distributed 900,000 testaments. I was driving around a rural island with Eddie Canuto, looking for a particular school where we were supposed to visit, and we were lost. We couldn't find the school, and so we stopped in a village and asked if there were any other schools that we might go to, and were directed to a parochial school just down the road. When we arrived, We went in and talked to the principal, and we said we were from the Gideons, and we were here to give out Bibles if they would accept them. The principal started to cry and said, "This morning, my teachers and I prayed for Bibles because we wanted to start a Bible study with our students, and we had no Bibles for them. And at that time, we knew that God had directed us to the right place." Often in the Hebrew scriptures, we see glimpses of the coming Messiah, characters and stories used to teach God's people what to expect, to show them how God's character would reveal itself fully and completely in Jesus Christ. These types of Christ are found in many stories of the Old Testament, and here we see a prophecy of the Davidic covenant, God's promise that the Messiah would come from David's lineage. David, the anointed one, comes to Saul, who is lost in sin, but calling for deliverance from David. David bears gifts from his father Jesse, the best gifts that his family had. We are the sinful Saul in this story. When we call out to Jesus to come into our lives, he comes bearing the treasures of heaven, the Holy Ghost, the fruits of the Spirit, the peace that passes all understanding. Here, David and his donkey, laden with baked bread, wine, and a young sacrificial animal, is a beautiful foreshadowing of our Savior Jesus, who comes to serve and comfort and save us in our sin and distress. Theda Sanner and her husband belonged to a Gideon camp in Pennsylvania. While entertaining some visitors in their area, they took them to a mountaintop scenic viewpoint. They parked next to a car that had just pulled in. They commented on the beauty of the view, and the woman in the other car said, "I come here to get away from it all." Her tone was downtrodden and despairing. And while Theda's husband and the visitors walked and took pictures, Theda retrieved a testament from her glove compartment and began a conversation with the woman. Her name was Cindy, and she quickly told Theda the reason for her despondent attitude was she was deeply in debt, about to lose her home, and was fearful of having no place to live. Cindy then told Theda that she had come to this lonely place planning to take the sleeping pill she had in her pocket and then just wandered down into the woods until they took effect and fall asleep forever. Theda encouraged her to look for another answer through Christ, showing her the helps in the front of these little Bibles and the plan of salvation in the back, and gave her the testament to take home and read. Cindy gave her her phone number, hugged her, and thanked her for caring, and drove away. The next day, Theda called Cindy, and Cindy's voice was friendly and joyful. She said she had visited her lawyer first thing that morning and had started a process that would resolve her financial situation and allow her to keep her home. She had been a churchgoer earlier in life, but had drifted away and forgotten her faith. She repeatedly thanked Theda for sharing and caring and said she knew that God had placed them together on that remote mountain at just the right time. David's service to Saul provided David with an intimate knowledge of the court and Saul's military. He met Saul's advisors and family members, overheard conversations, and became for a time an integral part of the royal household, providing him invaluable experience for a future general and king of Israel. To become an effective leader, David still needed training, experience, and fellowship within the existing government. Saul already had an army, a vision of God's ultimate plan to establish the nation, his exemplary son Jonathan, and many advisors who would eventually become loyal to David as the kingdom became an actual reality. David would build upon what Saul had started, and God provided a perfect opportunity for David for his future king. In the Gideon ministry, every member stands in his place around the camp. Some of us speak in churches, Some handle administrative tasks. Some place hotel Bibles and service testaments. And some shepherd new camps in exotic faraway places. Our ministry is disciplined, stresses training, and follows established procedures under the authority of our officers and the local church. It is a privilege to partner with local churches and pastors so that over the last 100 years, 2.3 billion Bibles and Testaments have been sent into 199 countries around the world in 107 different languages. I see that you are supporting a new missionary in the Middle East, which is wonderful. Praise God for those called into full-time Christian service, and be sure to support them financially and in prayer to the very best of your ability. As partners with the Gideons, you are reaching many, many mission fields here and abroad in all parts of the world with the gospel of Christ. Everywhere Gideon's International has outreach, this church is there. There are many generous supporters of the Gideons here in Sanilac County, and we are very grateful and blessed by our church partners. We are deeply and humbly appreciative of your donations, 100% of which go to either purchase or place the Word of God. In addition to giving financially using the insert in your bulletin today and leaving it in the little basket at the back of the church, we ask that you consider using our Gideon card program also. Card racks are available in churches and funeral homes throughout the county. Our auxiliary members are available to do a video presentation explaining the card program and its outreach for ladies' groups within the church or community. And if you need a good speaker for your next meeting, just ask. And there are cards in the back rack, I noticed today. Our Birthday for Jesus initiative have these nice little hanging cards for your Christmas tree, is in December and is a great new program that we have for churches. And it's an easy way to honor our Savior with a birthday gift he would really like this Christmas. It begins after most other Christmas campaigns have wrapped up and focuses on the non-material meaning of the holiday. We also request your intentional prayers for Gideon serving around the world and for your local camp. Finally, if you are a business or professional man who is a member in good standing of an evangelical or Protestant church, we invite you to consider Gideon membership. We need you. The average age of a Gideon is now 65. Retired guys all make great Gideons, and we'll take you even if you're 95. But what we're really after is some young men and their wives to consider membership in the Sanilac camp. You'll be blessed, and you'll never regret joining the Gideon ministry. We are a family ministry, and we strengthen men in their walk with Christ and their leadership within the church. Many pastors testify that churches benefit by having Gideons in their congregation. Although many of our Michigan agricultural fields this year are not producing as we would like, in a spiritual sense, the fields truly are white with the harvest, while the laborers are few. Please pray that men in this church and throughout Sanilac County will heed the call to join the Gideons, which will bring many lost souls to saving faith in Christ. If you're not able to be a Gideon, we invite you to consider becoming a friend of Gideon's. We have these little brochures in the back. We'll be glad to give you one. Being a friend of Gideon's allows you to purchase testaments of your own for distribution, updates you on ministry news, and generally supports the work of the Gideons. There are brochures and an narthex, as I mentioned. Information about every aspect of the organization is also available online, including our new Bible app that allows you to share the Bible in many different languages. So if you have a cell phone and you're meeting someone that doesn't speak English, you can give them this. They can download the Bible onto their own cell phone. they can choose from many different languages and be able to read the Bible in their own language. And Ann and I will be here after to answer any questions that you have regarding Gideon's International. God bless this congregation, and to God be the glory. Amen. We will now have our offering. We'd ask the ushers to come forward. Praise God from whom please accept these gifts, tithes, and offerings, and may they be used to spread your word around the world. Amen. Our concluding hymn is number 402, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. the benediction from Hebrews. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go back. Should we go back and stay? Thank you. Thanks, Sean. Okay. Oh, thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay, glad to be here. Thank you.